I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soul School Lesson 20. And February is my birthday month. I mentioned this before, but if you didn't hear it already, like a hobbit, I like to give away presents on my birthday, and I will be giving a gift basket to a lucky listener to find out what it is and to enter to win by random chance. Go to facebook.com/sparkmymuse, and I'm giving away little hints of what is in there, and all you have to do to play along is just make a comment, like the page, and share it. And then you can maybe get a chance to win. So there will be little treats and goodies in there. So I encourage you to go by and check it out and see what's available there. There's always links as well to the different episodes. So today I'm going to be talking about, is it possible to pick values over beliefs? And we'll kind of do a little thought experiment. You can just buy into it if you want to, or you can let it go if you don't. You may find it helpful, and when I came to this realization for myself, it was useful to me, and I thought I would share it with you and see if it's useful to you. So recently, I heard a song, and the chorus talked about beliefs, and it listed a whole bunch, believing in this thing, and believing in that thing, and believing in this other thing. And it talked about belief so many times in the chorus that I thought, what is belief actually, and what am I saying I believe? And it's so specific, and it gave me pause. And I realized that as humans, we can be so adamant about having beliefs and making sure they're the right kind and making sure we know exactly what we believe. But strangely, there can be this strange kind of dichotomy where we're very disconnected at times from living out those beliefs. It's almost like a verbal ascension and a mental ascension, but divorced from action sometimes, or maybe oftentimes. And I don't know if it's strange to you, but you can go saying you believe one thing, like, I believe in a good and loving God. And if you do, and you do worship a good and loving God, you could turn right around and act unloving. And so in a way, you think, well, does it matter if you believe in a good and loving God? If you're not a good and loving person, then what do your beliefs actually matter? Maybe it matters more what your values are and if you're living out your values. So sometimes there's pressure to say that you believe something very specifically. And there's even pressure to indoctrinate others into very specific certain beliefs. And there's a fear, I think, that lies behind all that. That if people start to disagree with those beliefs, or if people start to feel differently, then maybe things are going to fall apart, and maybe the system's going to fall apart, and it's going to fail, and we're going to stop getting along, or maybe there's going to be some kind of dispute that will break out, and maybe things won't work anymore, and that should be prevented at all costs, and we should all believe the same thing and get on the same page. I think that's what kind of why creeds were invented. Let's make sure we all believe the same thing. And I have very much been able to state creeds and feel like I can get on the same page. But I've also wondered at the usefulness of creeds. And in the end, if you wind up not being able to believe in a certain part of a creed, then you can get kicked out of a club. And I wonder if having clubs is more important than being the kind of person who is going to be loving. And so one thing I want to think about is seeing if we can be the kind of people who are able to suspend our beliefs. And I'm going to get into that a little more, because there's a fine point that is really key to understand there. Before I get into that, I think it might be interesting if you're in a club, a group, or whatever of some kind, that if you say ahead of time to these people, I hope that it's okay if sometimes I think differently than you, and I hope that your grace is sufficient for me if I do. And to just call that out ahead of time and see what people say. I think they'll say, yeah, sure. But it'll be interesting to see if you actually do come up with something different, how gracious people will be. And hopefully we can all be loving for each other when those times come that we do feel differently than other people in our group. So let's talk really specifically about beliefs. What are they really? Now, I think I've misunderstood this for a long, long time. But beliefs are just what we think is true. We have evidence for something, and we make a mental ascension to what we feel is a certainty, or at least probably a certainty. It's a mental ascension, so beliefs are just thoughts we have in our brain. They're just thoughts. They're actually not connected to us like air we need to breathe or something like that, even though we very much attach beliefs to ourselves and our identity. So, you know, political things, we believe a political party is right. So then we attach it to ourselves and our identity. And then what if we change our mind and our identity is stripped? You know, we might really, really attach beliefs to our identity and our core ideas about ourselves. But is that really wise? Beliefs are really just thoughts, and thoughts can change. And I wonder if we attach too much weight to just the idea of belief. So beliefs might be true, or they might not be true, even though we have them. We assume that they're true, or we wouldn't believe them. We don't believe things that are untrue. It's just a contradiction. So when we have evidence that contradicts our beliefs, then we change them. If we believe something that isn't true, it's really not a belief anymore. It's just kind of a contradiction. So we all believe, I think most of us believe, that the earth is round, and we have proof. Most of us who've been up in an airplane can see somewhat of a curvature of the earth, and we know it's at least curved. Maybe we can't prove that it's ball-shaped, but there's enough pictures of the earth that we believe are true to consider that the earth is actually round. We have enough evidence. Unless we have evidence otherwise, we would tend to believe that it is round because we have proof, we have evidence, so we bolster our beliefs that way. But there are plenty of things we believe that we can't prove. Some of those things are believed with atheists, with theists, with Christians, with Muslims. Those are things like love, justice, hope, and there's plenty more. They're more like ideals. And we don't ever see them really working out perfectly, but even though we don't, we believe that they're true. And we believe that they would exist even though people don't execute them properly. Even if people didn't exist to meet them out, they would still exist even if people weren't around. They just are. They just exist in this maybe platonic type of way. We just know that these things just are. We don't believe them because we're guessing. We just feel that they're somehow a certainty. And I think where things have gaps, where our beliefs have gaps, that's really where faith fills in. Faith fills in the gaps where beliefs can't cover that ground. But certainty, we have beliefs that are very certain. Certainty is actually the opposite of faith, is how I see it. Some people think doubt is the opposite of faith, but I don't see it like that. I disagree. I think doubt and faith work together, and they help us come to different sorts of beliefs. But certainty is the opponent of faith. But sometimes belief, I think, will actually get in the way of growing the kind of faith we need to have a better picture of how the world works and to have a better picture of how we work and how we actually are, and really to have a better picture of God, the divine. And so what may be the most important or the more important thing than believing and never shifting our beliefs is to have core values instead. Because belief, which is certainty, is to kind of be immovable. But when you have core values, that is like an operating system from which you will behave and you will decide how you will be in the world. And really, to me, core values, which are made up of virtues, are your operating system. Your beliefs are just these thoughts and these mental ascensions that can come and go based on evidence that comes in. But your core values are really never going to change. And across the board, in all walks of life, people tend to very much agree on them. they can fluctuate a little bit, but people in the world are going to tend to believe that honesty is a really good idea and that goodness and kindness is a really good idea. Now, the specifics could change, but in general, they're going to be pretty much commonly agreed on. For Christians, these involve the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You could say you believe them, you believe in them, but that doesn't really get you to do them. But if you take them on as your values and your operating system, you might see it differently to act in those sorts of ways, in those sorts of modes of being. And these are all ways we associate as being sourced in the divine ultimately. We consider them the ground of our being. And the more we allow them to flow through us, the more we are good to ourselves and good to others. And we consider this being born of the Spirit. And other religious traditions have really similar ones at their core. And any person with common sense could come up with them too. If you ask a 5-year-old to come up with some good core values, they could do it too. It's really not so hard. The hard part, of course, is carrying them out deliberately and consistently. But here's a little twist. I think you should do this maybe on a regular basis, and I'm trying to do it myself, is to suspend your beliefs. And actually, you already do it. You already do it all the time. Probably before the day's out, you'll probably do it. And this is how you'll do it. You might read some fiction. You might watch a TV drama or even a comedy. You might see a movie or a play or engage in some other art form, music or drama or other arts, art forms like dance. And what's happening is, you know what you're seeing isn't real. It's a representation. And it's something else other than actual reality playing out. But you'll suspend your belief because you'll want to go along with it. And you know that by going along with it, there's something else to gain. You'll play along. You'll suspend what you know is certain because you'll have a little faith that by doing that, something good can come of it. And I think suspending our beliefs, not giving them up and not pretending that they don't matter, but suspending them gives us a lot. On a regular basis, if we do that in other contexts other than art, I think we stand to gain so much. You can do it. You can suspend them anytime you want to. You can do it to solve problems. You can do it to have empathy for others. And that's a wonderful and beautiful way to do it, to suspend your beliefs of how you feel about someone or towards some group. You can suspend your beliefs to use your imagination. And you can do it in any number of ways. What you believe is just a thought that you feel to be true. It isn't as important as the air you breathe, and it's not really connected to you. It's something that you've taken on to go about your world and to get through life. But you can suspend it or you can change your beliefs. It's not really tied to you as much as you think. Your values, on the other hand, and how you live them out, and how you take on your operating system for being in the world and relating with others and God, is a huge deal. It's how you navigate your life. I'd love to hear what you think about it. Do you agree? I think it's an interesting thought experiment, and I'm eager to hear what you have to say about it. If you'd like to connect with me or leave your thoughts or questions or contemplations about it, you can let me know at facebook.com/sparkmymuse. And there will be some interesting material, bonus material, in the Varsity Club. If you go to sparkmymuse.com and you go to lesson 20, there will be a link to bonus material and a lesson that's a video lesson and a worksheet that will bring up some new and interesting exercises that'll be mind expanding and pose some interesting new questions that I didn't bring up in this lesson right now, but I think you will really enjoy it. So may you be blessed. Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too. Please stop by and check it out. Thank you.